I'm starting today because we don't want her to try to do that theme again.
Stop!
Copyright! Copyright!
But didn't we all sing along with it when it was going?
I let my wife sing for me, but I noticed they changed the intro around.
Uh-huh.
So awesome. I mean, I could spend this entire thing on just the new intro.
And watching like, what happened
to the what happened to the rest of the world? Mm-hmm. We're not even talking about that anymore?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, we're just focusing right here.
We're just focusing right in the Seven Kingdoms.
That's right.
It's amazing.
That's right. It's all come full circle.
It is our Game of Thrones reaction, final season, episode one, off-air flare, doing a little special edition kind of thing. Mm-hmm.
For a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
So, spoiler alert, if you have not, spoiler.
You have 5 seconds.
Yeah,
and
okay.
Then we're going to go spoilers.
Count it down.
One, two, three, four.
Five. Okay.
Everybody's dead.
Okay. Listen, the dragons burn everything to the ground, and that's it.
I knew it.
There's no.
I
more,
called it.
There's no more episodes. That's it. That's what they only. They trolled us all and did one episode, and it was only 10 minutes long.
I'd be on the first flight to wherever they filmed it.
I'd be like, George R. R. Martin, we need to talk, sir.
I, he gets death threats all the time, anyway.
Over the Red Wedding, and
I don't make threats. I make promises.
So you and I talked a little bit before,
yes,
and we were thinking that this first episode is laying down some groundwork. It wasn't as eventful as we would have liked, but I think it's like the more and more they've gotten into depth with this series, they've gotten more cinematic.
Yes,
and so you were
very true.
You know, especially we waited 2 years, not just 1 year, 2 years for this. You would think it would be like, we're going to start off
with a bang.
Instead of this like crazy like march through town.
Right.
And you're like, okay, well, that's cool. What are we doing?
I guess that's the biggest thing for me is we've seen all of this. There have been all of these changes. There's just been this massive earth-shattering movement, if you will. Like this build, I mean, I say the phrase, winter is coming.
Mm-hmm.
Winter should have been here last night.
Right.
It should not have been still coming. Winter's still coming.
Yeah.
How is it still coming? It's 7 years of still coming, and it's not here yet.
It's only cold in winter.
Snow on the ground doesn't count.
Right. I want to wear my fur coat. Please.
Let me just tell you, their fur coat game is on point.
Oh, it is. I'm sure PETA's like,
goodness.
What is happening?
I have news for PETA. I don't care.
This is Westeros,
that's
PETA.
That's right. Right.
The rules don't apply here.
What do dragons eat, PETA? Whatever they want.
Yeah, they've been burning goats since episode two. So where do we want to start? I mean, it's kind of like a plethora of things.
I mean, there are so many different things.
Yeah.
I mean, we can focus on, I think one of the things I'm really keen on is if they're going to slow roll it again, which that's probably my biggest painful takeaway is you've slow rolled me yet again.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
This to me was like the go home show before a major event where everything was kind of laid back, no problem. I don't want an opener. I don't want the season opener to be the equivalent of a go home show like before a big finale.
Yeah,
I don't
want the appetizer. Bring me the steak.
No, sitting at home with chills last night. Every time they showed that stupid teaser, 3 minutes. 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Just start the show.
And Facebook was going bananas.
Oh,
I didn't know
goodness.
There were so many fans out there. I mean, you know there's fans, but it was almost like I would say 75% of the people on my Facebook had the activity watching Game of Thrones.
Here we go. And that's what we got.
Yeah.
Like, the build-up is probably the biggest. You build up that much, and then you slow roll it. That's probably my biggest problem.
Yeah.
I love the show. I love everything
about
it. We ran
to the finish line, and then we walked the last, like, mile.
Right.
Like, okay, cool.
It's like, all right, we're in the home stretch. You're starting stage three of a race, and they're just like, we'll just go.
We were just like,
pit lane speeds all the way around.
For a second, and then we're like, and rank.
Exactly.
Like, no.
But I do like how they got the band back together. That's really the feel I got from this one.
Seeing, like, the Stark children all kind of come as one. I liked Arya and Jon's reaction to each other because they were always so close. Jon being the outcast, she being the young one. That was really
cool. Who isn't your normal lady.
Yeah, like Sansa was she was always going to be the one after Catherine. Like
absolutely.
She was going to be, you know, the Lady of Winterfell. And then here's Arya, like the little tomboy that's wanting to learn how to fight, you know, picking fights with Joffrey and everything or whatever. And, here she is now.
How'd that work out?
Oh, yeah. Well, she talked about the – didn't she talk about the wedding? No, Sansa talked about the wedding. That's correct.
Know,
it wasn't all bad. You know,
yeah, it wasn't
parts
all
of
bad.
It. Yeah.
There was, she's got a little bit of snark. It's obvious that Sansa spent the last two or three seasons with Littlefinger. Yeah. And for all of the creepy – weird uncle, but also love interest grossness. That
yeah, you remind me of your mom.
That relationship made.
Mm-hmm.
She learned a lot, and she thanked
she
him. If you remember, mm-hmm. she thanked him for all that he's, and it shows, because yeah. even Arya spoke to the fact that Sansa's the smartest woman she knows.
Well, yeah, because you know he was the behind the scenes mm-hmm. moving a lot of pegs, and yep. it ended up like not going so well for Sansa, even though he loved her so much. I mean, she'd been through some stuff. And she's yeah. sitting here like, and when Daenerys shows up last night, like,
Side eye.
Yeah, just,
Right.
I mean, if I could put that,
That's it.
Total, So we're going to, I think we're going to see a power struggle there.
Which is interesting to me because technically Sansa doesn't have a whole lot of power
yeah,
in
really
the
doesn't.
Grand scheme of things.
Yeah, Jon does.
But she's got it here. She's got it up top.
Yeah.
And I think that's Sansa's worldly experience. It's a phrase I never thought I'd say out loud because
right.
early in the series, I'm like, how has she not gotten killed yet?
She was just a cute girl. When the Hound had to say, okay, little bird, you know, during that
yeah.
riot, like he had to save her or whatever. She just seemed like, you know, yeah, she's going to die or just be married off.
Just,
and you're like,
right.
there she is,
yeah,
barefoot
uh-huh,
and pregnant.
See you
okay,
later.
Whatever. Yeah.
Right. But it never came up that way.
Yeah.
It has taken a total swerve and a lot of credit to the creators for that point alone because
yeah, she's really
that was
developed.
A slow roll. That was a long build up, but to see her to that point is really cool.
Yeah, yeah.
I also think, again, when we were talking about getting everybody in the same room, I believe this is the first time all of the remaining Stark children have been at Winterfell since season one, episode one.
Really?
So that's a really long. I mean, there's always been bits and pieces here and there.
Right.
Moving
like
through
here's
the area.
John interacting with this one. Here's, you know,
right,
Sansa and Arya here. And
season
da, 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 da.
One, John heads off to the Wall.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he didn't come back until later. Well, by then, Brandon had left. Rob obviously has met his end.
Yeah, he can't
Sansa
zigzag.
Had moved down to King's Landing
yeah.
early on. So really, just to get everybody
together
what's left, the rest of the pack back there
I hear
together.
Your wolf reference.
That's right.
Yeah.
So I do like that. Mm-hmm. I also, you were talking about Sansa being the smartest woman and that correlation that Littlefinger taught her and being the smartest woman that she knows. I'll be interested to see how that dynamic changes. And again, one of the, I'm going to call him an unsung hero, Varys and Sansa. Put the two of them in the same room.
Mm.
That'll be quite interesting. Again, that's kind of a foreshadowing. You'll notice he's in town now.
Mm-hmm.
Those two have never been, not necessarily they don't have a storyline together.
Right.
But with the connections and the intelligence and the strategizing that
right.
goes along with it.
Right.
We talk about Tyrion. Which you saw he and Sansa had their moment, which, remember, they're still married, right?
Right. Technically. Yeah, because he said
somewhere
he
down
mentioned
the line.
Wife or
right.
whatever to her or whatever. Like, you know, when your wife leaves or disappears
right.
after that wedding, da-da-da-da-da.
So that I think that'll be an interesting dynamic to keep an eye on. And again, we saw everybody.
Yeah.
We saw everybody we needed to see
yeah.
in some way, shape, or form. Everybody that's got a main story arc were there in some capacity
yeah.
in the episode.
Yeah, it's like, hey, don't forget. I mean,
right.
everybody's here.
Mm-hmm. So there was that, but there's still story arcs that haven't been touched yet.
Mm-hmm.
Brienne only had a cameo.
Right.
Like, never showed up.
She's
so, I mean, like, she was
still
there,
beastly.
But wasn't. So there's unfinished business with her and Jaime.
Absolutely.
Her and
I
the
think
Hound.
I think he's in love with her.
Oh, yeah.
Because,
I mean,
that whole, like, he goes and saves her from that bear pit and everything. And they really developed, like,
mm-hmm.
such an unusual relationship that wasn't, well, A, we're not related. B, you know, had the same, like, fighting background
right.
or whatever. And he showed her compassion. And, you know, I would like to see that play out.
And see, I think she's got a little bit of fangirl in her for him. And then
being
to see him fall down and kind of be knocked off that pedestal and build himself back up. I think
yeah.
she has gone from fangirl to love interest,
mm-hmm.
which is not necessarily highlighted. It's been subtle throughout. But I agree with you. I think there's something there that now, you know, as the episode ended, you saw Jaime showing up.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we've avoided kind of the elephant in the room, or not. Well, really one of those elephants. Brandon Stark.
Mm-hmm.
Made, I mean, he's been, I would say a role player for the most part. Yeah. Like he was the youngest of the children, wasn't that physically gifted. We've watched him grow and evolve all the way through.
Yeah, he just went from someone who was more so, you know, lame and couldn't move and had to have Hodor basically baby him. I know, this one's for Hodor. Rest in peace, homie.
That's right.
Just watch him develop into the three-eyed raven, and that's been pretty incredible.
Yeah, he made a statement in last night's episode, like an unbelievable statement to me. From the, like, everybody's doing the typical, you know, hierarchy, how you doing, the big good old handshake, if you will.
Yeah.
And he just stops and I don't have time for this. Yeah, you guys have no clue what's happening,
like,
right now.
We got some serious stuff
going
on.
He brought everything to the forefront.
We've been sharing these Ned Stark posters all over Facebook about Winter's coming, and it's coming. So let's stop the charades.
And I love that he didn't mess around with that. And it's funny to me to be the person who is really the least physically threatening to walk in and have that much of an impact.
Yeah, very.
It's exactly what we wanted. Yeah. I think deep down is what everybody wanted and needed. The whole, he looked through, and maybe the three-eyed raven thing is part of it. He saw through the BS, if you will, with Sansa and Daenerys.
Right.
And he was like, all your squabbling can be dealt with another day. We have a problem.
Yeah, we can all, you know, fire and ice it later. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then you've got the Greyjoy.
Yes.
That's a weird thing, but I like the concept.
Crazy uncle?
Well, the crazy uncle, we'll get to him in a minute. I want to talk about Theon saving his sister.
Yeah. Oh, she punched him right in the face when he
headbutt.
Did. Oh, yeah.
Headbutt.
Yeah, yeah. I was thanks so much. Appreciate that. Boop.
He owed her one for Baelin. She owed him
one.
Yeah,
because they were like, come on and kill me or I'll kill your sister or whatever. And the uncle, when
he was
her,
like,
bye. See you in 2 years.
Right. But I think to that same extent, the interesting thing to take away from that interchange where she sent Theon back up north because that's where he wanted to be.
Right.
And again, deep down, that's the people he wants to be with. And he's really kind of the last member of that band, even though he was never officially a member of the Stark family. He was the last. He's really the last.
Well, he and Rob were really close.
Right.
Like, they were like besties.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just off, you know, looking for ladies and just having a good old time. And then when he turned on the whole family and tried to take over Winterfell and everything, and then his demise, you know.
But he made amends in his own weird sort of way.
Saving Sansa
from
the tyranny there. That was kind of his, like, redeeming quality, because you're like, okay, because you took over Winterfell, you caused a whole lot of drama for those poor Starks, and you kind of set the wheels in motion.
Right.
And, you know, you saved Sansa from being, you know, abused and just really tormented, so.
Well, and note the pivotal moment. Right as they were about to part ways, she went to take back the Iron Islands and has fully intended. And I'm amazed that she's that well read in, being in her background, that the walkers can't move on water. So she's already planning a defensive position for all of the, like, that's her, she fully acknowledges that's the role she intends to play.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, to me, having that much foresight is really somewhat impressive.
Right.
I am somewhat surprised, though, they can't go over water, but I remember the whole ice scene. I'm like, what's to stop him from just, you know,
yeah, why couldn't we all take our swords and go, you know,
right,
like that old don't break the ice game, tap, 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 tap.
Right. But I'm saying maybe they don't think he could freeze the sea as opposed to a large lake, which is what we saw as everyone was stranded last go around.
Typical, you know, watch it end up being, oh yeah, I'm going to freeze this whole sea.
Right.
And then you're like, oh no. Now we all have to fight here. So,
exactly.
I mean, only time will
tell.
So
a little foreshadowing there, I think. I think that statement is going to make a play later on.
That's when we're getting the extra 30 minutes an episode, like, in
eventually
a couple more. Yeah. I mean, I think that was kind of disappointing. Everyone was excited, and this one was like 54 minutes. So
what I've seen online, they'll progressively get longer and longer as we go.
Okay.
The other thing that I think is, I'll tell you what, let's take that back. What turning points do you see? Like, what moments do you take away for you in Jenya's mind are going to be key points later on? Like, what is that moment you take away with and go, why did that happen? What happened? Not necessarily what you think. We'll leave that as food for thought. But let's just kind of play on, what do you think is going to be a changer?
Okay, so I think Cersei and her interaction with crazy Uncle Greyjoy.
Euron,
That's going to come into play, because at one point he said, you know, I'm basically going to, you know, make you pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know that she's got Jamie's kid, a Bruin.
We think she's
well,
got
we think, because she
kid.
Made that statement to Jamie, which could have been, okay, she's trying to keep him from killing
mental.
Her. She's trying to keep him, like, in love with her, or what. But her face was like, I'm already pregnant. So if we could make this happen, that's an ally for her.
I think it's her leverage.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think the whole dynamic of Sam being like, yo, John, Daenerys kind of killed my dad and my bro, and y'all kind of related. That's kind of like a big,
that was
like,
a big thing.
Yeah, that's kind of like, just in case you didn't know.
The delivery of that was amazing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because Sam, who has been the
very, like, humble,
unsung
meek.
Underdog,
yeah.
Never steps up. I mean, even when he was at dinner with his parents on his way to the Citadel, it was like, you're just a loser. And it was like, yeah. Whoa.
And here he is, like, very intelligent with the
well-read.
Library and everything. And, you know, he's helped with grayscale and everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, he just really has transformed. So that's a big one.
He's my sixth man of the year. If you look at a sports reference, okay. You start five in basketball. Mm-hmm. But the number one guy, the guy that always comes off the bench, that sixth man who makes the team work, that's Sam to me. He's my
mm-hmm.
sixth man of the year.
Mm-hmm. The Hound. Hound coming back.
Yep.
It's going to be good. I love the Hound. Mm-hmm. I can't wait. And I hope it gets to that point where the Hound faces off with the Mountain, who is his
yes.
brother. You know, he is still like freaking Frankenstein or whatever,
mm-hmm.
with whatever medicine and all, you know, when he had that whole big battle and got poisoned, but they kept him alive. And he's been Cersei's right hand, you know, goon, if you will. But, you know, that's the reason the Hound's face is like disformed.
Right.
Because he had like burned it as a child or something
mm-hmm.
like that.
Right.
So there's going to be a redemption moment, and I hope the Hound wins. Because even though he's a jerk, and even though he's done some crazy stuff, like he's been...
He's always been on this... He's always had the best interest in mind.
Right, he saved Sansa during that whole riot thing. He helped Arya, even though she was like, nah, good luck.
And they had their chemistry.
Yeah,
that was interesting.
Yeah, they had the weird dynamic. I love you, hate you kind of thing.
Right.
Like that big brother, big sister, mm-hmm. or little sister kind of vibe. So it'll be interesting to see that.
In his own way, the Hound has always had the best of intentions.
Yeah.
Like, he wants to do
right.
But at the same time, he's going to serve the guy in front of him. So he's done some brutal things.
Right.
But it's, I think, always been towards the greater good.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he always was at odds with Joffrey in their interminglings, mainly because Joffrey's a jerk.
Yeah.
There's no question about that. But I think that character's dynamic is one to mention. And when you were talking key moments, things that we need to remember for later,
mm-hmm.
Gendry, who, mm-hmm. as we all remember, is technically lays a claim to the throne, being
a
Baratheon.
Mm-hmm.
Whether
mm-hmm.
it's known or not, there are people that know.
Yeah,
him handing the Hound that dragonglass axe.
Mm-hmm.
There's no real basis behind that.
Mm-hmm.
The Hound has always been a swordsman. Always.
Mm-hmm.
Why choose then to hand him a dragon glass axe?
Mm-hmm.
That weapon is going to have some sort of significance for me down the road.
Wouldn't
I think
be
that's
cool
a play.
If the Hound was the one that killed the head walker?
If you think he gets killed.
Maybe so. Or maybe the Hound.
You never know. I'm just saying, I feel like that's a moment to remember.
Yeah, because then
that
it's
moment
that,
to take
that
away
axe
is
going
why,
to come back.
Why is that axe significant?
Well, it's like when we first learned about Dragonglass, and then Sam found it, and you're
mm-hmm.
like, whoa, you know, what's going on?
Right. I think that concept's there. But again, those outside of the small weapon that Arya wants, which, again, that seems to be, at least through social media, that was the biggest, like, what's that for? What's that for? What is it? What's it for?
Because mm-hmm.
you'll notice it was a two-part weapon.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been compartmentalized, so there's got to be something for storage or...
Mm-hmm.
Whatever, she has her mind set to something.
Yeah.
So there's that part of it, but I think that one, to me, was too obvious. Their flirtation and that kind of thing, whereas I think the Hound getting that axe, to me,
something
why
symbolic about it, or foreshadowing.
Right. Why go into that much effort?
Yeah.
I see no point in that much effort.
We're gonna bring this back.
Exactly.
This is coming back.
This has got to be a part of it coming back.
Absolutely.
You know, we didn't really hit much on John finding out he's the king because it's not really news.
Yeah.
It was interesting that John found out and the way he found out.
Mm-hmm.
I think the one statement again there is, you did what you thought was best for your people.
Mm-hmm.
You bent the knee to protect your people. Would she do the same? I think is really the foreshadowing question. And I'm going to be perfectly honest.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of tired of Daenerys. I know she's the fan favorite, but she's getting a little big for her britches, and I think some of her dad's starting to show.
Well, I mean, wouldn't that be an interesting change where, like, they always talked about the Targaryens were cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
Right.
And so if she almost becomes mad with power, too, she's got the dragons. That's what kind of
shown that way.
Yeah. I mean, she's sitting there, and she's, again, Sam's brother and dad. She was like, bend the knee, no. And they wouldn't. And
I don't blame her for that at all.
Yeah. Well,
make a statement.
Yeah, well.
And what better way to make a statement than take out two of the most well-known lieutenants? Yeah. Kind of sad that it's Sam's father. Yeah. I think that's where it pulls on the heartstrings. Not that she did it.
Yeah.
Because if I were in that position as a strategist, I'd have done it. Yeah. I'd have made an example. And no question in my mind, I'd have made an example.
Well, I think it's just interesting to see where she was this humble girl that was basically traded off just for power from her brother.
Right.
And here she is that she realizes that, oh, I can, you know, survive fire. I can be the mother of these dragons. I can go from being a servant and a slave and very subservient to very powerful and just acquire, you know, the unsullied and kingdoms and power and just everything. And then Jorah's back in the mix, too. So, I mean, it's a lot to take in. So I agree with you, though, because there's times when I'm like, girl, you know, remember where you came from.
Right. Like, I feel like there's that moment of she's gone. I think she remembers fully where she came from.
Right.
And I think she is so...
Maybe she's gotten bitter power.
Not bitter. I don't think bitter's the right word. I think she's so focused on never going back.
I gotta be queen.
Reclaiming her family's name that I think maybe she goes mad with that premise. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like,
obsessive.
Nobody ever talked about what drove the Mad King mad.
Yeah. Maybe we find out.
Where did it go? Where did it come from? You know what I'm saying? So could this be her version of that? I don't know. We'll just have
history
to wait and see.
History repeating itself.
Right. Mm-hmm. But it actually fleshes out. Mm-hmm. Like, there's going to have to be somebody that knows that story, which Sam may be the one who knows how the Mad King went
Jamie
mad.
Probably knows because, I mean, he's
Jamie, Kingslayer. Of course. Yep.
Yeah, because, I mean, when they unveiled that, it was almost like, you know, everyone called me the Kingslayer. He was going to kill everybody. That's why I did it. I wasn't being a horrible person.
Right.
And that shows that redeeming quality of Jamie because you want to hate him. You want to hate Jamie so bad.
You know what? You know who Jamie – I saw this online and I want to use it because I love it. Jamie Lannister is Tiger Woods. Think about
Congratulations,
that.
Congratulations, Tiger.
That's right. First off, congrats, Tiger. But if you look at it, Tiger was on top of the world. Mm-hmm. Jamie Lannister was on top of the world. Then it
Some
all fell apart
yeah.
for Tiger. It all fell apart. Got hurt. His personal issues all got in the way. Jamie, same problem. Mm-hmm. Fell off the face of the earth. Was one of the most hated people. The Kingslayer name, yada, 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 so on and so forth. Now look at him. Mm-hmm. He's the only... He left, unofficially left Cersei. Mm-hmm. And has switched over and is making this mad dash towards righteousness. Or at least it appears that way.
So maybe in some form or fashion, he takes down somebody, whether it is, you know.
There will be a significance to someone that he takes out.
He's going
to
take out somebody, whether it be, some people are thinking it's going to be Cersei. Because, you know, she, you know, that prophet or that witch or whatever she was said, you know, one of your siblings, your younger sibling's going to take you out. And she's always thought Tyrion could be Jaime.
Yeah.
Jamie could take down, you know, the mountain. He could take down
so many things to take away.
Yeah,
so and also at the end, Jamie gets off the horse. Sits Brandon.
So what's going to play out with that?
I don't think anything does. I think my prediction is Brandon is going to have a chat with him. Jamie is going to, we're going to call it punch drunk with power. Because, I mean, let's be honest, that's what that was. The sake of his family name was there. But I think Brandon's going to do this. He's going to do the everything happens for a reason.
Yeah.
So
like this
how are you
going
to make it up to me?
Or whatever, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I think there will be a storyline between the two of them.
Something almost like there's a need for a clarification or some sort of, let's talk about that again, elephant in the room. You pushed me out of a window.
Right. But I don't think it's going to be a vengeance thing because
no,
I think
I
Brandon
think...
could have had him killed. If he could war again anywhere he wanted, he could have had Jamie killed. I don't think that's the point.
I think it almost is like the lack of use of his legs opened up his mind and
Correct.
The ability to become the three-eyed raven.
I think there's a thank you coming, whether he wants to admit it or not.
Right.
But I think that thank you is going to come with a price.
Right.
So watch for potentially, in my eyes, Jamie being, I'm going to call it the hand of Brandon. Mm-hmm. Okay. I think that's got a cool arc potential to go with it. Yeah. So what did we miss? What do you guys take away from the first episode? No, we didn't. We gave you the warning. If we did, you're on your own.
Yeah.
So what did we miss?
Yeah, what did you think? And what do you think is going to happen? Let us know.
Fine. Overall rating, 1 to 10.
Of this episode?
Yes.
6.5.
Stole my number.
Seriously?
6.5.
Legit?
Yep.
That's amazing. Yeah, 6.5. I think building up some dialogue, putting in these little nuggets of information that if you paid attention to later on.
Yep.
But I was really hoping for, like, you know, some cinematic, like some battle, a White Walker's head rolling across the floor or something crazy. Right. And then maybe go, like, rewind or something like that, right, or fast forward or something, or flashback or something. But, you know, we got several episodes for them to make it up.
Plenty
to
of time. So. And we plan to do a reactions episode every week. So, keep it locked here on Mondays, right here on Off Air Flare. We're looking forward to covering the Game of Thrones its entirety.
Goodbye. Goodbye.